Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
I'm going to talk about spoiled kids, because that came up in the conversation the other night. We were talking about kids and paying for their college fees. Do you remember all that conversation we had the other night? And we started talking about the fact that we thought kids were spoiled nowadays compared to the kids of the 1980s, 1990s of our generation. And I say our, knowing that most of our listeners are over the age of 35. So tonight I'm going to talk about spoiled kids. And when I say kids, I mean 13 to 26 year olds, otherwise known as the Gen Zs. What makes them so materialistic that they just don't seem to care about anyone or anything apart from themselves? And look, before people start giving out to me and writing in neat complaints to the Broadcasting Authority, Niall Boylan was branding all children as being spoiled, and I want to complain quite strongly to management and never listen to classic kids again. I'm not talking about them all, obviously. There's some really great kids out there, some good kids out there who are good to their parents and at work, you know, will do their chores at home and, you know, and they're kind and generous and they think of others. But in the norm, it seems to be there's a change. And by the way, it's not their fault. It's us. Statistically, the Gen Zs, the 13 to 26 year olds, are the dumbest generation we have had. That's the truth, by the way. It's statistically true. It's been proven. They're dumb. And they're dumb because they have very little common sense. Everything they do now, they have to Google. We didn't Google things. We didn't have Google. Google was a local library when I was a kid. But it was just called Raheny Library. They're like a lost generation that have no social groups. In fact, they don't do anything outside of their mobile phones and iPads. They only care about themselves and are only interested in what's in it for them. What can I get off Wish this week? You know, what can I find on Amazon that my mom and dad will pay for? Not too expensive so I won't piss them off. You know what I mean? When it comes to Christmas, what's the most expensive gift I can think of? And I won't even bother buying them a card. You know what I mean? So all of those things, that's what they are, isn't it? Or am I stepping out of line here? They are a generation that have to be bribed to do anything. In our day, my father would say to me, go out and cut the grass. There was no go out and cut the grass and I'll give you a fiver. Now, if I got a fiver, which I never did, by the way, 50 pence was the going rate in those days for pocket money, I was blessed. But in saying that, you just did those things because it was expected of you. You know, if you empty the dishwasher for 3 days, you know, I'll put some pocket money in your Revolut. Yeah, everything is a deal to them. You know what I mean? It's like they're little business people, they're little entrepreneurs. They all want to be the next Mark Zuckerberg. What is about them? Why has this happened? What have we done to them? Is that just me? Am I just seeing this? You know, because myself and AJ were talking about this earlier on. I think she's kind of noticed it too. She's got young kids too, but they're not quite that age yet. But she'll notice it soon enough. Anyway, but are they selfish? Is it all the time what's in it for me? Or am I overstepping the mark here and am I completely wrong? And if I am right, why has it happened? So what do you think? Is it just me or do you notice it as well? Are kids spoiled nowadays? The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Right, let me go to Jessica first if I can. Jessica, hi, how are you?
Hiya.
How you doing, Jessica? Jessica, look, I'm sorry, but you're in this gen. You're Gen Z.
I know.
Yeah, you're a spoiled little git.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was far from spoiled, although my sisters would disagree.
Okay, so you're 20, what are you again? 24, 25? Well, I always get it wrong.
25.
Okay. Well, now, you're on the latter half of the Gen Z that I'm referring to, 13 to 26. But, you know,
I'm just about escaping it.
Yeah, you're just about escaping it. Because when you came to about 13 or 14, social media was just starting to get big. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I think social media has a lot to do with it. The fact they probably all have very sore necks because they spend their whole day stooped over staring into a phone. I mean, I've seen it. You know, I've had two or three kids in the back of the car. They don't communicate with each other. They're all looking at the phone. If they need to tell each other something, they're right beside each other. They'll actually message each other.
Oh, no, they'll still text it, yeah.
The same in the house. Your daughter will send you a message from one room. Is the dinner ready? You know what I mean? Come in and see yourself.
Yeah. They'll text me upstairs being like, oh, Mad, I need you. They're like, right, we'll just shout down.
So are they spoiled?
I think so, especially from especially today's kind of 12, 13-year-olds and then younger, because you can see them in the shop. Have you ever seen a child having a tantrum now, Niall?
Mm.
If they have a tantrum and they're screaming the shop down, back in the day, me and you probably would have gotten a clip and...
Dragged out to the car.
Don't be making a show of me like that in the shops, blah, blah, blah. You get told off, and rightfully so, because you're having a meltdown and embarrassing your mum and dad. But now kids are like, it's this whole new thing called gentle parenting, where the mum or dad will stoop down to the child's level and say, oh, what's wrong with you? Why are we feeling like this? Why are we expressing these kind of feelings? I was like, are you actually joking me? I'd get slapped around the ear if I was screaming the shop down. These kids are getting rewarded with a therapy session.
Yeah, because that's the new form of parenting, isn't it? Come down to their level. I'm not going to say what radio station, but there's a radio station and they have this parenting expert on every week or so, right? And it's kind of like, you know, people send in their text letters, little Johnny won't do this for me, you know? And she goes, okay, well, what you do is you talk to him, ask him why he doesn't want to do it. And I'm going, what? You just slap across the head. You just do it. You know what I mean? I mean, what is wrong with parents nowadays? It's helicopter parenting, isn't it?
It's helicopter. It's gentle. Well, they call it gentle parenting. I call it stupid. But if it keeps going the way like that, I tell you, we're fecked as society.
Mm. Yeah, but are they...
Honest to God.
Are they spoiled? Because, or is that just the way I'm looking at it as an older person? Because I suppose as we get older, we get crankier.
I think they're spoiled. So, like, all you have to do is even go to, like, a McDonald's for a coffee or something. Just look around you and you'll see the amount of, like, two-year-olds having, full-grown, like, fully-sized iPads right in front of them. I'm like, are you actually for real?
Mm.
They get everything handed to them, and if they don't, they'll cry and crib and have their little tantrums until they get what they want.
I mean, parents are telling us all the time that they're strapped for cash, and yet I see kids of 12 and 13 walking around with iPhone 5s.
Stop buying your kid iPhone 15s and now that the 16s out, how many parents are going to be stressed now thinking, crap, Christmas is down the road and they want the new 16?
Did I just say iPhone 5?
You did.
That's a long
time. I didn't want to pull you up on it.
That's a while ago. Yeah, it's iPhone 15. I wouldn't mind. I have one right in front of me here. It's an iPhone 15. You think I'd know, wouldn't you? Yeah, but...
No, but you know what? They won't even say 16. They're like, oh, Ma, Dad, I know Christmas is like, you know, a couple of months down the road, but I want the 16 Pro Max, the brand newest one. It's about $1,500, so it's nearly like a mortgage repayment. Can I please have it? Like, no.
Yeah, but parents, but they give in. They give in and they buy them. They just give in.
I know. You know. I know, that's what's worse.
And these are parents who don't have a huge amount of money. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, but then when they do, crib being like, oh, I've no money now. I'm like, well, maybe you should have told little Johnny, no, you're not getting a phone that's over 1,500 because you're going to smash it within a week anyway.
You're going to stand on the screen.
Well, no, because they're stupid. They've no coordination. So they're going to drop the thing and then that's it. The screen's smashed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I see it every day, like in my job, because I have to do the phones and everything. And I look at them and I'm like, oh my God, stop giving your children expensive technology.
I tell you, it's not as bad now as it used to be. The phone screens used to smash really easy. They are made much better now.
To be fair, I would much rather have a sturdy Nokia Blocky. You could fling that thing from the top of the spire and it would still work. It'd be charged for an entire year.
And what are you doing for a living? I don't want to know where you work, but do you fix phones? Is that what you do? Fix the screens?
Yeah, the screens and then any kind of software problems. And then the most common question I get is, can you put me credit in for me?
Oh,
oh my God.
Well, they buy the credit and they don't know how to put it into their phone.
Yeah.
Oh, I imagine that's probably older people. I'm more so than younger people, to be honest with you.
Oh, you'd be surprised. I've seen people, no offense, though, your age group coming into me being like, can you put me credit on for me? I'm like, what were you doing? What were you doing when credit was first brought in?
Yeah, I know. So, Jessica, the ads, you're saying absolutely they're spoiled.
They're spoiled and they are stupid. 100% they're stupid. I still remember having to use an encyclopedia for me, especially when I mean, kind of sixth class homework and then like beginning of first year, second, third year. Then after that, then I started using Google more.
Yeah.
But I still remember having to open an encyclopedia, look at the contents of the page, try and find the right page. Whereas now all they need to do is just... Blah, 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 blah.
And that, well, the stats were out there a while ago. We talked about it on the show. That this generation, Generation Z, are the statistically the dumbest generation. But a lot of that is to do with common sense. They lack common sense and social skills.
But it's not even just about like their homework and everything. Look at the stuff that they like. I know it sounds bad, and I know it's probably going to go into a tangent. Look at the stuff they believe in. Look at the Just Stop Oil people. What kind of age are they around? Just around kind of Gen Z.
Just starting
college. Yeah.
Yeah, but two more of them ended up going to jail for 2 years the other day, by the way. Remember the two of the beans, the can of beans over the...
Rightfully
the,
so.
The work of art. They got 2 years in jail. And you are. It rightfully so. Why would you just go a tin of beans over a work of art? You know what I mean? Well, stay there for a second. Let me go to David.
You see them sitting on the bridge and everything. Oh,
God. Yeah, gluing themselves to things. David, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you going?
Yeah, Gen Z, am I being really unfair tonight?
I think I can cite two sides of the coin. Back a few years ago, my daughter was taking riding lessons, and the riding school she went to, they had a young lad who was about 5 or 6 years old at that time, but maybe 7, and he was driving around on a golf cart.
Okay.
On his own. And you had parents around, you had ponies around, and all sorts. And he was not a risk. He was totally responsible. He was totally trained. He knew what he was doing, and he was doing it responsibly.
Right.
And then on the other side of the coin, at the rowing club, after a day's rowing, the kids have to wash the boats off. One of the kids came in, picked up the hose, which hadn't been clipped or connected to the tap. It was just a spring, you know, one of those hose clock connectors, and she couldn't do it, so she just threw it on the ground and went to walk away. And I called her back and said, "Now plug it in."
because somebody has always plugged it in for her. That's probably why.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's exactly it. They worked with the parents of the lad, he qualified for the RDS this year, and he competed in August on his pony at the RDS. And he won the Munster.
In other words, it served him well. Yeah.
Yeah, but he has been brought up properly by two parents who run a business, and they involve the children. And their two sons and daughter are all entirely responsible. But you go up there and you go up to a pony camp there.
I get the gist, but do you think children in general, obviously he's been well brought up, the reason they're spoiled is because we're just not, the parents nowadays are just not as good as the parents were 20, 30 years ago?
It's totally the parents' fault. Yeah, absolutely. It's because the parents don't let them do anything. Maybe because the parents are couch potatoes themselves or whatever it may be. But, you know, sort of, I don't know whether that's the case, but I know that, absolutely, the kids don't think because they're not invited to, and they're not invited to think at school. Teachers don't want them to think. Most teachers, certainly in Ireland, I would suggest, have teacher training qualifications. They don't have degrees in the subjects. They teach by rote. They teach the pass exams. They don't teach them to think.
And I think that's a huge problem. But mind you, did the teachers in our days, did they have degrees? Probably not either, did they?
Well, I certainly know the teachers. None of the teachers at the school I went to had teacher training qualifications.
The difference now is, you know, I don't know about Jessica, but certainly most young people now, they lack social skills. They really lack social skills.
Oh, absolutely. An example of that was if you watch the older jockeys running a race, at the end of the race, all the older jockeys are sort of congratulating each other. They come up to each other, shake hands, and it's a celebration. And they all celebrate one of their mates win. You watch it at the end of the Grand National, whatever. Now, if you watch some of the other point-to-points where you've got the younger jockeys, the 17, 16, 17, 18, 19-year-olds, they don't congratulate each other at all, because whenever they communicate on their phones.
Mm.
One of my local clubs around here, he runs a stud, and he had a horse running. and the jockey that rides out for him is a 16 or 17 year old. Totally sound kid, very good rider, but he had no social skills, which is exactly what we're talking about. And he's a very sound kid, and he won the race. It was his, I think he was under, the under 21 jockey of the year or something.
So do you think most 15, 16 year olds are socially inept?
Totally, but that's because they're not invited to be. They don't have to be. You know, so whereas certainly in my day, we were a bit. There were 12 of us in the back of a car.
Social anxiety is a buzzword now.
Sorry, say that again, Jessica.
Social anxiety is like a buzzword now. They're all saying, "Oh, social anxiety." Yeah, you're doing me backside.
At what age? I didn't even know what the word social anxiety meant till I was about 23. How do they find? How do they know they have social anxiety? Who's telling them this?
I don't know, but I'm going to guess that they self-diagnose themselves with Dr. Google.
Or TikTok.
Or TikTok, yeah, exactly. Like, just, oh, yeah, they're just, oh.
So like, and here's one of the more serious parts of it, right?
They wouldn't even know how to turn on a washing machine.
Yeah, but
if you ask them, they'd be like, what?
When I was a kid, none of us knew what suicide meant. We never heard it. It wasn't spoken about. You know, but now, you know, when I hear kids talking about, you know, self-harming and all that kind of stuff, it blows my mind.
Horrible. Yeah. I didn't know about that till I was maybe 15, 16.
Well, there you go. 15, 16. I didn't know about it at all until I was about 25 or 30. I felt kind of very neglected. But in saying that, when you see kids talking about things like that at 12 or 13 years of age,
talk about it.
Yeah.
At least 15, 16, you can kind of get a grasp on it.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite shocking, isn't it? The things that they're learning that they shouldn't be learning and the things that they should be learning, they're not learning because they're not socially interacting anymore. Like very few of them, you know, go to football practice or go to tennis or go to community clubs or youth clubs or discos, or they just don't do these things anymore.
But Jessica, you sound like a country girl, or are you?
No, Jesus.
No,
She's
I'm
a dub.
City mouse.
Yeah, she's a dub true and true, David. She's not a country girl.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just fascinated how you've managed to avoid the sort of towny sort of inability to do anything without getting a man in to do it.
I don't know myself, but it's gas because when people hear me and they tell them, like, oh, I'm Finglas, they're like, no, you're not. You're too posh to be from Finglas. I'm like, no, this wasn't dragged up by the scruff of my neck.
Well,
no offense.
I realise you're not D4. I spot you're not D4. That's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she hasn't had brought a man in to do anything for her. She gets Kira to do everything, her girlfriend. Okay, but stay
there. The other way around, she gets me to do everything.
Well, stay there. Let me go to Jake. Jake, hi, how are you?
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Jake, okay, getting back to young people or Gen Z, the kind of 13 to 26, am I wrong in saying that a lot of them are just spoiled rotten?
I'm not going to say wrong, but I think it's kind of tarring all with the same brush.
Okay.
So, I'm the same age as Jessica, and obviously I'd be down in this bracket of Gen Z or whatever.
The latter half of it. You're the latter half of it.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, like, when it comes to people, and I don't know if Jessica's experienced this as well, more than likely has, but I think people, especially in our age group, in the 22 to 26 age bracket, more so, is there's added pressures there of the older generations who don't seem to understand what's going on right now. So I've experienced myself. So I have a 3-year-old daughter there. And she's the best thing to ever happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's a case for me where I feel the added pressures that I can't provide for my child in the right senses.
What can you not provide?
So obviously we're in a cost of living crisis at the moment.
Yeah.
So it's a case where I can't afford to provide my child her own bedroom in her own house with her own back garden she can go play in. And all that crack. But yet you have older generations saying, oh, well, I was married and I had my own house by the time I was 24. Well done for you.
Not necessarily, Jake. My parents, you know, lived in Mountjoy Square when I was born. Obviously they adopted me when I was nearly a year old. But they already had my sister, what have you. And they lived in Mountjoy Square in a one-bedroom flat. You know, so not everybody. This idea that everybody of my generation had a house. I didn't get my first house till I was 30 years of age.
Like, this isn't the case of saying, like, everybody. Again, like, that, I'm not tarring everyone with the same brush the same way. Like, don't tarring everyone with the same brush for Gen Z and stuff like that. It's a case that, like, there's people there who, I'm not going to say had a handy, because I'm not going, like that, I'm not going to say someone had a handy that they're not going to, like, everyone is entitled to work for what they want. But I said to my parents from day one, I never asked for handouts or anything like that, the way some people make out that we do. Everything I have, I worked for what I wanted, and I earned my own way. But it's nearly a case of some people that when it was back in the day, like the ratios of wages to house prices back then were so much easier. And it's a case now, the pressures are being thrown onto us, like, well, young people are wasting it on Netflix and avocado on toast and shite like that. It's nearly a case where it's pressure.
Well, when you say the ratio, I'm trying to remember, okay? My first house was €54,000, right? And the average wage, now, thankfully, I was earning slightly above the average wage because I was DJing at night and stuff like that as well, right? But the average wage at the time was about £150. So,
okay.
When you think about it, what's the average wage now? Probably £750, is it? Maybe.
The average way, I literally only looked this up before I came on because...
Yes, 42,000 is the average industrial. Is it 42,000 is the average industrial wage? Divide that by...
45 is what I found.
Okay, and sorry, I don't have my calculator here. Divide 42,000 by 52 weeks of the year. So, because I want to work it out weekly rather than monthly, because that's what people are more used to, I suppose.
You're probably not a million miles off 800.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But about 800.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in saying that, right, obviously I live just outside Dublin. I'm only in Kildare here myself. And it's a case where, like, housing prices average here. You're looking the guts of five.
Yeah, but that ratio works out right, because what I'm saying to you is, it's 150. No, hold on. When I was buying a house, the average wage was about £150. The house I got was 54,000, right? That was an average priced house, right? Which I then went on to sell during the Celtic Tigers to buy another house. We won't go into that anyway. So anyway, the point is, so 150 divided into, say, roughly 800 is roughly six times. Six by 54 is roughly £380 or 300, whatever, £380,000. It's about the same.
From what I found online, the average pricing compared to now, is the average ratio was 4-1 in 2000. Compared to 9-1 now.
Yeah, now, let's not talk about 2000 during the Celtic Tiger, because that was mad, because people were on silly money. You know what I mean? Because the wages went bonkers. I was earning more in 2001 than I'm earning now.
And does it feel like a fever dream the whole year?
Yeah, I feel like someone's robbed me.
I feel like I've been beaten up
and robbed over the last 5 years. Anyway, you can't compare 2000, Jake, and I'm sorry.
Right, so for example, my parents bought our first house in 2004.
Yes, yeah, that was the height of the Celtic Tiger.
Exactly, and that's the age generation that are putting the pressure on.
Yeah, they were assholes. Between 1995 and 2005, people were idiots. You know, they had too much money, they had too much spare time in their hands. They had that money coming in from the government. Do you remember that thing where you put a euro in or 5 euro in and you got a euro back? Do you remember all that carry-on? I can't remember what it was called at the time. So everybody got 16 grand in and around 2000 for nothing off the government. Or some people got 32 if they had two of them in a household. So everybody was minted. Everybody had loads of money. It was great. But the house prices rocketed. People's wages rocketed. And it was all just a false economy from 95 to about 2005. The Celtic Tiger. It was a joke. It destroyed the country.
You made it clear there. They were arseholes. They're the people that are coming up to people my age, Jessica's age, and like, well, I had this when I was this age, and I had that when I was this age. We can't physically
sometimes
do that.
Sometimes it's older, Jake. Sometimes it's older.
It is.
I've had 60. I remember in my old job, I used to work in a McDonald's. I've had people come to the drive-thru. I'd say probably early to mid-70s. All the time, I'm there being nice and taking the orders, and then turn around being like, would you not get yourself a better job to be able to get yourself a home and everything? I'm like, All right, thanks. Not... didn't want to feel crap, but now I do.
Jessica, I think
they're going to
agree.
Okay, work minimum wage.
Jake, I get the point you're saying, and don't get me wrong, it's difficult to be a 25-year-old at the moment, particularly with the cost of living in this country. I'm not going to deny that. You know, and I see so many young people wanting to leave the country, and I can't blame them, by the way, because they can't afford to live in their own country anymore. And there's a whole rake of problems created by the current government and the previous two governments as well, right? But that still doesn't get to the root of my problem. And my problem is mainly with the kind of 13 to 18-year-old group. I just see this materialistic, self-preservation, self-entitled. It's all about them. Unless there's something in it for them, they're not interested. This attitude.
See, now, when you split it into that bracket, like the 13 to 18 and the upwards from that, 13 to 18, fucking Egypt.
I call them the super nanny kids because that's what they would have watched growing up.
Spoiled little shites. Like, it's a case where I have cousins that are in that age bracket, and it's kind of like, for example, one of my cousins has a child. He's going 13. And he's sitting there now, and it's like, he knows the jazz with Santy and all this crack. And Christmas came up last year, and he turned around to his ma and he goes, oh, I want this Nike tracksuit. Grant, how much is it? She went on to JD. The tracksuit cost €240. Go down to pennies and put a Nike sticker on the fucking thing.
but they wouldn't put up with that, Jake. You know what I mean?
No, but you know what I mean?
Same way as they don't want a cheap, you know, €100 Android phone. They want an iPhone or a Samsung Galaxy. You know what I mean? It's all about brand names.
Samsung,
say it again, Jake.
I have a Samsung sitting here in front of me, £250. I have it the last 3 years, and it does me wonders.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a case where you can only update something so much. Like, how many megapixels do you need in a camera for a selfie to show off that your fancy new tracking costs you £200? Do you know what I mean?
But stay there, both of you, for a second. Let me bring Susan in on this as well. Susan, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, Susan.
So, first of all, I want to say it's not those kids' fault. It really isn't their fault. I have 9, 12, 22, 24, and 27-year-olds.
Wow, you're busy.
I am very busy. I have raised all of my kids the way I was raised as an 80s child because I wasn't having this shite crap that other parents have where they're like, all the kids are doing this. I have to do it. All the kids are doing it. They have to have this. They have to have that. And from a very young age, I have said to mine, it does not matter what is written on your shoes. What's important is the person who's in the shoes and how you treat other people. And I have had so many people that have admired my kids and said to me, oh my God, they're so down to earth. I had a 15-year-old many years ago go into town on a train. She came home and said, oh my God, I have a new friend. And I was like, oh, really? And she said, yeah, her name is Grania. And she's 54 and she's 2 grandkids. I met her on the train. And I laughed and thought, oh my God, I have done such a great job on you, because I don't know any other 15-year-old that would have sat
and befriended a pensioner. Yeah,
exactly. Really. And then even the little one that's in sixth class at the moment, the kids are coming in. One of them said to her, are those real Uggs? And she didn't know what it meant. And she said, what did that mean? And I said, it meant, did it have a certain word written on the back of it? And she said, why would that matter? I said, because they're shallow, because that's what they see at home. My kids get stuff out of a bag from cousins passed on from everywhere, and they pass their stuff on. And that's how they're raised. Now I have nieces and nephews who are very, very entitled, and it's not their fault. It's the way they're being raised.
And it's not just the entitlement or the selfishness. It's the idea that somebody mentioned the other night, for example, you know, you'd go out and they'll sit there all day on their phone. They would never lift a mop, never lift a sweep and brush, unless they were asked. And even if they were asked, there has to be something in it for them.
You see, the parents have enabled their kids. They have enabled this behaviour and they have allowed it to happen. When we were kids, we were told, do it. My kids are told, do that now.
Mm.
And as a result, they just do it because they know it's not worth the argument. And when they go out to play, they go out to play. Santa brought them green machines last year. It's like a big wheel. And
I know the one, yeah. I love them.
Yeah. Off they went. And even now, they're still out playing on them. So they don't come home and they don't get technology. And I had a WhatsApp group and somebody asked, can somebody please tell me, are your kids getting technology every day? And I was the only one that wrote in that group, no. My kids don't get technology.
By the way, it's ironic that you wrote it in a WhatsApp group, but however.
Oh, and the thing is, I had a Blackia myself up until a year and a half ago, and a car drove over it, and it still worked, but the battery swelled up and it couldn't fasten. And my husband said, look, with the line of work I do, I need emails. And he said, just get an iPhone. I said, just give me your old one. And that's what I'm on. I don't, when people say, what iPhone is that? I say, it's a working one. I couldn't tell you what number is on the back of it.
Yeah.
And I refuse to allow my kids. Like, my husband's like, oh, is it not time she gets an iPod? And I was like, no, it's not. It's not time she gets an iPod because she's still...
But you, yeah, but Susan, and I'd love to give you a round of applause because you're one in a million as far as I can see.
But there is a few. And if you talk out loud enough, you'll hear those people. They hear you and they'll answer you back. And it actually helps other people come out of themselves and realize and see, you know what? I am actually doing wrong here by my kids. And you have to stop worrying. That's Jack Jake. You know what his main problem is? He's worried what other people think about him. He's worried about all these things. Oh, they had a house. I didn't have a house. Stop worrying what other people think. All that little girl needs is two parents to idolize her and support her in the best way they can. It doesn't matter if they're all in the one room. Years ago, my granny had 18 kids and they're in a two-bedroom house.
Are you listening to this, Jake?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
And she is she is right. All, you know, all a child requires, because this is all we had when I was a kid, and I hate to go back to when I was a kid because we didn't go to Spain on holidays or anything of that kind of stuff, right? Because we couldn't afford it, obviously. All a child requires is love and attention. That's all they require. That's really all they need. You know what I mean?
The kids that get the iPads and all these things that don't get that attention. And that's why they don't know how to communicate with people. When my kids get into the car, as soon as they get in, the two little gossips, oh my God, wait and I tell you what happened today. Can't wait to tell me about the bold kid in school. When the others come in from college, they're like, oh my God, you wouldn't believe what's going on today. And they sit and they chat. And I have to say, they're great. They don't sit on their phones all the time. They don't look at the phone. They don't use the Snapchat or the Instagram. They're not bothered with it.
With my little one now, she does have a tablet, okay? Now,
how old did you say she is, Jake, again? Remind us.
She's three. Now, the tablet is there realistically for evenings. It's not really a babysitting tool or anything like that. It's a case, in the evening, if mom or nan wants to watch telly, they're watching telly and she gets to watch her cartoons for an hour or so.
But you know what we did when we were kids? When anybody was watching the telly, we had to sit and watch it with them and we'd colour in or make a jigsaw. So she doesn't need that tablet. She really doesn't.
No, and I get that too. And I try to minimalise it as best I can. But obviously, the soaps aren't exactly colourised as such as she might like.
Oh, sure. Even when we were kids, we had to watch EastEnders. Oh my God, it's torture. Coronation Street.
But I know, here, don't slag off Coronation. Don't slag off Coronation Street. I like Coronation Street.
The point I'm coming off on this is, like, even though we allow for that little bit of time and technology, she only recently started school. She started school this year, play school, obviously, and it's still the story she tells us about how her day was and stuff like that. It's amazing.
You need because to keep that.
Yeah, but you don't want that to ever stop. And I'm going to tell you now, as soon as she has a phone, that'll stop. Because, I was lucky in a sense that my kids are your age, Jake. You know, so, you know, they kind of escaped that. Social media really only became popular in the last 10 years, right? So I didn't have to contend too much with that. But when I see kids nowadays at 13 or 14 years of age, and, you know, they're all just staring blankly into the phones. They don't communicate with each other anymore. They're not interested in going to community centres or discos or social clubs. Because that will take time away from their time on TikTok or their time on Instagram or their time, you know, seeing. Because they always feel like they're missing out. What do they call that fear? Fear of missing out, isn't it? That's what they call it, yeah. FOMO, fear of missing out. And they all have this fear of missing out if they don't have their phones. Our next topic tonight is going to be about mobile phone pouches in schools, right? And I'm going to be saying, why do we need to spend 9 million on pouches? Just tell them not to bring their phones to school. It's simple. You don't need a pouch to put them into. They just don't bring them. Simple. Why can't we understand that? So I believe social media and phones are probably the biggest part of this self-entitlement, and because they're talking to each other constantly about what they all have. You know what I mean?
They're all trying to keep up with each other. It's our job as parents to teach our kids to not give a shit about what anybody else is doing. I'm always saying to mine, if somebody says, how come she got that? I just say, it's none of your business what she got. She got what she got. It's none of your business. You get things. Stop watching other people. And they're not going to learn that from each other. They have to learn that at home. It's one of the most important things that every child needs to know, grown into adulthood. It's like Jake, sorry, Jake, but like you worry what other people think. Stop worrying what other people think, because you will instantly find yourself so much happiness, so much happier when you stop worrying about what other people think.
Do me a favour, please stay there. I have to go to a very short break. Martin and Dermot, I'll be with you after the break. Please stay with me if you can, Susan. All right, stay there, please, Susan. Martin, hi, how are you?
I'm well, Niall. Good evening.
I've just been listening to A Rock of Sense for the last 10 minutes, Susan. One of the best parents I've heard on the show, can I just point out?
Yeah.
Sorry, Susan, I hate to be throwing bouquets at you.
Well, no, I'll throw a few as well. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we need, if not Susan, we certainly need somebody like Susan to have a joint portfolio in cabinet as a minister for children and education.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, people might say, well, why wouldn't you run for it? I'm too much of a contrary old git. I'd cause more rows.
Yeah, so would I.
Susan has finesse. Yeah, Susan has finesse. She's able to put her point across probably without winding people up the way I would. Mm. But I think, yes, the real thing here is, yeah, younger people are being spoiled, but I don't mean just spoiled insofar as they have a sense of entitlement and they have a hissy fit if they don't get what they want and so on. Yes, that is true to a very, very large degree. But they're also being spoiled or ruined in their development. You know, like, when I look at an infant who, whether it be a boy or a girl, you put them on the floor, and when they can sit up and when they have the ability to actually manipulate things, you know, they can hold things, they can look at them, they can study them, put down a few blocks. And whether it be a boy or a girl, almost the first thing they will do, they will want to build. They'll want to put one block on top of another. They want to. It's instinctive in human beings to solve problems. And those abilities are being taken away from young people, because those simple things like blocks, jigsaws, Meccano, I know people say,
Lego.
Oh, you can't Lego. I can think back to my sisters when they were younger. Yes, okay, it was dolls, it was what have you. Now people say, oh, you're being sexist. I don't care. But the point I'm making is, when my sisters were younger, when they were children, they had opportunities to, and they were encouraged. There were magazines, there were what have you, for girls to make, you know, clothes for dolls, which then went on to making clothes for themselves. Now, those skills and abilities are being taken away because everything is being presented in a format of it's on an iPad or it's on a tablet or whatever else. There's no actual tactile, there's no feeling, there's no touch. It's that old thing of, you know, if you want to buy it, go kick the tires. You know, I know kicking the tires won't tell you anything about a car, but it's a good feeling. New car, let's kick the tires. You know, I just think
everything has been done for them as well. They've an app for everything.
There is an app for everything, but this whole thing, it ties into. And I know people will again, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Okay. I am a conspiracy theorist, but just because people say it's conspiracy doesn't necessarily mean that it's not true. When you look at what's happening with the education, and we discussed this the other night, children's ability is being, their ability to develop as rational, well-balanced, coherent, capable adults in the future is being stolen from them. In my opinion, it's literally being stolen deliberately, because the state, and when I say the state, I mean the whole overarching, the system, and it's not just a blind system that doesn't know where to go. The whole thing is geared towards control. If they can control people and get them from a very early age to be entirely dependent on the state, on the things the state can provide.
Quite ironic, actually. I think it was Minister Catherine Martin had said yesterday to Grip Media that she was looking, or wouldn't be, what was the word? I can't remember the exact wording she used, so I'm paraphrasing, but basically suggested that universal basic income wouldn't be such a bad idea. And that's the kind of next step to this kind of Almost socialism.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But let me not venture too much off what we're talking about. Susan has the right idea. Her kids come home from school. They talk to her. They talk in the car.
Yeah.
How many kids do that nowadays? Very few. What they'll do is they'll get into the car if you collect them from school. Their headphones are on. They're straight onto their phone and they don't even communicate with you. They're talking to their mates from school through WhatsApp or in a WhatsApp or a Snapchat group or whatever it is. And that's carried on as soon as they get out of the car into their straight into their bedroom, you know, and they're not communicating anymore. They're not socially interacting. They don't understand social cues anymore. They don't have the same level of compassion, empathy, and all those kind of things. And I'm not blaming those 12 and 13 year olds. I'm blaming us for allowing that to happen. Not Susan, obviously, because she doesn't allow it to happen. But it's our fault. So they grow up with a sense of entitlement that they will do nothing unless there's something in it for them.
Yeah, and by doing nothing, they'll accomplish almost nothing. And that's exactly my point. Each of the things we're discussing are just spokes of the same wheel.
But can I ask Susan before I go to Jared as well? Can I ask Susan something? Susan, it also could be a case, maybe I'm blindsided here, of me being 60 years of age, Martin being not too far away from that or in around that as well. You, I don't know what age you are. I'm not going to ask you what age you are. but you're by no stretch of the imagination are you very young because you just told me that you have an older.
I'm 46. Yeah,
okay. So are we blindsided by the fact that we're older and just like our parents used to give out about kids, we're just giving out about kids and we're not accepting that's the way the world is?
No, definitely not. I work in the education system and you wouldn't believe how much they are dumbing down what they are teaching the kids. When we were in school, we had so much more. The books were harder. The work was more difficult. And we were challenged. Kids nowadays, I'm not joking, they're tired. Parents are like, oh, they're tired. There's a lot of homework. And I'm looking at my kids' homework going, that's not a lot of homework. I had a lot of homework. This is ridiculous. And even the stuff they're learning, and I'm saying, you're in sixth class now. Are you not doing this? And they're looking at me like, what? My child has no idea what pi is. I knew what pi was in sixth class. She's going into first year and hasn't got a clue what that is. She said they haven't even touched up on it. I look at the books.
3.127, is it?
No. Yeah. it's ridiculous. They don't. Everything is being dumbed down for them. Everything has been made easier. And then what happens? Then they get into college and you're grown up and this is the work. And oh my God, they get anxious. And I am so anxious right now. I'm so stressed out. And that's our fault. Because we've allowed that to happen. We've allowed the schools to make them dumb like that. We have allowed the schools to dumb down.
Well, I only talked about this on my podcast come back about 2 weeks ago, that there was research out that said that this generation, Gen Z, and no reflection on them, I'm sorry to all the parents who have kids out there, they're going to be the dumbest generation.
It's sad, but
you would imagine with the technology that they have, they would be the cleverest, wouldn't you?
All it is technology smart. That's all it is. They're technology smart, but they can't sit down and have a conversation. They can't work out why my group of friends has, excluded me, why all of this is going on. And then what does that lead to? That leads to so much anxiousness and so much I can't cope that suicide is the next.
Oh, yeah,
I have a suicide that was close to me by a child that I have taught since the age of 4. And at month before her 17th birthday, took her own life.
Oh, God.
Because she was excluded in school. Everybody in school left her out and she'd no after school activities. So all of these girls decided, you know what, you done something you shouldn't have done. And all she did was kiss a boy. Kiss a boy. And everybody excluded her from everything. And she felt so lost and so devastated that that poor child took her own life needlessly.
God.
Heartbreaking.
And here's the thing. This happened in our school. You know, when I was a kid, the kids would put you in Coventry if you did something wrong, right? But here's the thing. When you went home, it didn't matter because you didn't bring the school home with you. But they now bring their friends home and the school home in their pocket. So, or in their bag or whatever, they keep their phone. So the problem is they carry this problem for 24 hours a day. It's not just for the time they're in school.
No, it used to be bullying in school. Now it's bullying at school, which now leads to my phone, which is in my home, which is in my swimming club, which is in now my GAA club. It goes everywhere. It's there on Saturday. It's all there all day Sunday. It's there at midnight when the kids are still on their phones. I know so many parents that say, oh, my God, I could hear the phone beeping at 3 o'clock last night. And I think, well, what the hell were you doing at 3 o'clock in the morning that you didn't get in and take that phone off them? Why is that phone not downstairs in the kitchen when they're going to bed? Because it shouldn't be allowed upstairs.
And what age do you think, Susan, because I now trust your advice, because I think from what you're telling me, you do a very good job at parenting. What age do you think a child should be allowed to have a smartphone?
When you're ready for your child to look at porn, then you're ready for your child to have a smartphone.
Good answer. Stay there for a second if you can. Martin, stay with me. Dermot, hi, how are you? Sorry, Kiva, I'll be with you in a second. I've got about 7 minutes here. Six, sorry. Dermot, hi, how are you?
Hello, Lane. How are you?
That's the best line I've heard all night. When you're ready for your child to look at porn, you're ready for a child to have a phone. It's a good answer.
No, I wouldn't talk about it. Listen, congratulations anyway on running for Europe and all that.
Oh,
you
thanks.
Should run again.
Thanks. No, I'm going to run for presidency next. President Boylan has a ring to it, I think.
Yeah. You might wish my wife a happy 28th anniversary.
Oh, congrats. Well, I hope it's your anniversary too. Seems she's your wife, by the way. What's your wife's name?
Annette.
A happy anniversary to you and Annette on your 28th anniversary. Congratulations to both of you, by the way. It's a rare thing nowadays that people stay together for so long. And I'm delighted to hear you. Maybe someday you come on and tell us the secret to a happy marriage.
I will, yeah. Someday.
Okay, so Dermot, very quickly, just in relation to kids nowadays, because I'm running out of time here, 13 to 18-year-olds in particular, do you think they're spoiled?
I do, because going back in the day, now I'm 59, I'd be roughly around the same age as you. When we were 10 years of age, we used to go down to a field. There used to be 45, 50 of us playing soccer. We'd go out at 10 o'clock in the morning on the summer holidays. We wouldn't come back till 7 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd be black and blue coming back. And we'd go to the fridge and whatever was in the fridge. If there was nothing there, there was nothing there. You go to bed, get up the next morning and do the very same thing again.
Do the same thing again. Yeah, I remember doing it. Yep.
It was unbelievable, and they were the happiest days ever. But you wouldn't see kids doing that nowadays.
No.
Because they're in the room.
Yeah, they're in the room with their phone. That's why.
Yeah, staring at their phone. You go along Patrick Street in Cork today. There's, I think, 9 sets of traffic lights in Patrick Street. They're walking across the road like zombies looking at their phones. Walking under cars and buses. It's ridiculous. It's crazy. Like.
But it's not their fault.
Whose fault is it?
It's ours. Well, not ours. It's their parents. not my kids.
Exactly.
It's just their parents' fault. It's not their fault. Monkey see, monkey do. You know,
what do you do about it, like?
But it's not just our fault. It's the government's fault, because it's the education system is part of the whole problem.
Nine million for pouches.
Well, but that's the next topic, by the way, if you want to come back on again. Yeah, 9 million for pouches. Rather than just saying, leave your phone at home. You know what I mean?
Or just take it off at the gate.
Look, knowing this government, somebody related to somebody in government owns the company that's making the pouches. That's probably what's going on here. You know what I mean? But anyway, that's a whole other argument. But we'll talk about that after the break. But so what's the answer, Dermot?
What's the wait?
What's the answer?
It starts at home, I'd say.
Certainly does. Well, actually, hold on. I've only got a minute and a half left, and I need to go to Kiva as well. Is it Kiva? Hi, Kiva.
How you doing?
How are you doing? Sorry, Kiva. Your name just changed on my screen for some obscure reason. I don't know. I have no idea why. Kiva, so... You're what age group are you?
I'd be 45.
Okay. You've got kids?
I have a 12-year-old daughter and a 9-year-old son.
Okay. So they're right in that age group now. So you heard what Susan said. They don't get a mobile phone till you think they're capable of looking at porn. Have they got mobile phones?
My 12-year-old would, yeah.
Okay. And so it's a smartphone, I assume?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is she on TikTok?
Yeah.
At 12?
But it's monitored. Yeah.
But it's monitored.
But everybody is. Everybody is. All her school friends are. And younger in her class, in her school. So that's the reality of it.
So
there's nobody in her class that doesn't have a phone.
But that sentence that you just said there, everybody's doing it. So I must comply. I must be like everyone else. You're teaching your daughter.
I said in her class and in her school.
I know, talking about in her class and in her school. You've just said that. Everyone in her class has. So what if everyone yeah. does? Everyone in my child's class does, but that doesn't mean she's going to be like that. If
well, okay, well, maybe that's it. That's fair enough. That's your
that's
point of view.
Saying,
I think it's the era we're living in.
But if you choose to allow your child to go that direction, I choose not to go that direction. I always tell my kids to, you know, you're your own person. They wear odd socks because their feet are not the same. And I've taught them that since they were very small. Your feet are not the same while you wear the same socks. So as a result, everyone in my house wears odd socks. A lot of people say, oh, is that your laziness? And I'm like, no, I was actually teaching them something. That foot is not the same as that foot, so they shouldn't be dressed the same. No two people are the same. So you don't have to
exactly.
do that.
Exactly. So your opinion and my opinion are different.
Yeah, I agree, Kiva. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. Susan has a way of parenting. But Kiva,
what I'm saying is you shouldn't just comply because everyone is doing it. You don't do
something. No, I'm not complying. I'm just saying I agreed. And I just said, yes, she does have a phone and everybody in her class does have a phone. She might have been the first or the second to have one. But that was my choice. She doesn't have it all the time. That was my choice. But since the start of sixth class, everybody in our class, fifth class and fourth class, they have phones. They're not allowed them in school. But after school, they had a certain amount of time with them. She still goes out to play an awful lot of time and plays all those old school games. She does her activities, her football, her gymnastics, her dancing. She does all those also. She doesn't bring it to bed with her.
Well, that's a good thing.
I think it's the era we're living in, and that's the majority. I won't say all. The majority of kids that age, it's a change.
But when I was young, we came into the era of, I suppose, pornography became big. You know, in America, of course, the sexual revolution started. Deep Throat was the first big porn movie in the United States, which started the sexual revolution. That didn't mean that my parents allowed me to watch porn. What I'm saying to you is, there is a danger when we allow kids and technology to jump too far ahead.
Oh, 100%. 100%. And that's where the parents come in, where they monitor it.
But the problem is, we're not monitoring. You're saying you're monitoring it. And with respect, and I don't mean this in any disparaging way to you, you're not standing there 24 hours a day watching what she's looking at on the phone.
No, but I would check her phone most of the time, yeah, and see what she's watched, and I'd be having the same... watching the same TikToks myself. And there is an awful lot of influencers out there who are allowed to portray that these products are whatever else, which is a day.
Well, I know, and that's an important one too, what Instagrammers are doing and these influencers are doing.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
McCarthy Insurance Group, serving the community for over 70 years. For home, farm, motor, life, health and business insurance, log on to mig.ie or free phone 1-800-50-1111. Probably your best call in 2024. Charles McCarthy Insurance is trading as McCarthy Insurance Group is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.